It's Saturday morning and time for the Coaches Show. An in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Another Tri-County Conference football title for the Blair Oaks Falcons last night as they beat Osage by a score of 61-14. Helias ends the regular season undefeated at 9-0. Last night at Ray Hinch's Stadium, they defeat Cardinal Ritter 27-18. Capital City picks up its first varsity football win as they win last night at Atkins Stadium, beating Kirksville by a score of 13-7, and then a heartbreaker for the Jefferson City Jays on Thursday night. A field goal as time expired for Zumwalt West over the Jays by a score of 23-20. As we mentioned, Elias wins by 9 last night as they defeat the Lions from St. Louis Cardinal Ritter. And joining us is head football coach Chris Henches. Chris, that was a big win last night because that was a good football team you played.
It was a very good football team, Kevin. I honestly, going back and watching the tape last night and this morning, that defensive front seven is as good as we've seen this year. They caused a lot of problems up front, but we were able to execute well enough to get four scores and to move the ball and control the clock, which was, part of one of the things we said we needed to do was run the football and to keep their powerful offense off the field, and we were able to do that.
You were able to check another thing off your list, weren't you?
Yeah, we were. Obviously, finishing the regular season undefeated, avenging, two losses the past two seasons against this team. We kind of challenged the boys that this was going to be a measuring stick to see how far our program has come, because this was a team that physically dominated us the last two seasons. And to get that perfect season, perfect regular season against Cardinal Ritter was special.
Coach, I thought it was a physical football game last night. Would you agree?
Very physical, very physical. I mean, they are a hard-hitting, fast football team. And, mostly in the run game, it was their linebackers and safeties. We had a hard time climbing up from the first level to the second level. I mean, their linebackers were free, and when they're free to hit, they were going to hit you, and their free safety as well, which normally in a free safety situation, it's hard to account for them in the run game, and they usually are free hitters, and they triggered very fast on run. And but I'm just so proud of our boys and our ability to keep fighting throughout the course of the football game and, to match their physicality. But, yeah, it there's going to be a lot of sore kids this morning.
There were a lot of big plays in the football game, but there were two that I want to talk about right now. One was Ryan Clark's touchdown run of 19 yards that gave you the lead at 14-6 in the ball game. I mean, he broke at least a half a dozen tackles and just wouldn't go down. And then Luther Burden on the very next game, 98 yards, and he did the same thing, got pinballed around, and he stayed in bounds, ran over people, and broke tackles.
Yeah, going to Ryan's run, we needed to influence one of their linebackers with some motion, and we were able to do that with a little fly motion, we call, and then run a trap back to where that linebacker had vacated with their man coverage, and we had a nice hole at the point of attack. But like you said, the last 6-7 yards Ryan did on his own, hit, spin, and kept fighting until he got in the end zone. That brought us up. And then the very next, they had a 15-yard penalty.
Mm-hmm.
On the ensuing kickoff, we were trying to kick that thing in the end zone, and I think we got it down to the 1-yard line. And, I don't know if our kickoff team, and that's something we're certainly going to challenge those guys this morning on, I don't know if they eased up thinking, with 15 yards, we're definitely going to kick this thing in the end zone. Well, that didn't happen. And when you get the ball into the hands of an athlete like that, we certainly need to work on our coverage and our tackling, but credit to their returner. Of course, he's the kid going to Oklahoma. He's a phenomenal athlete, but he did break I don't know how many tackles.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it on film last night, and credit to him. That was a good return for them, and that put the momentum right back into their corner. And that's certainly something that was great for them, and not so great for us last night.
And he did it right in front of your sidelines, so you got to see the whole thing.
We got to see the thing up close and personal. And those things are frustrating, because we had guys there. We just weren't wrapping up. It's like we were trying to knock him off his feet. You can't do that to an athlete like that. You have to wrap and drive and finish your tackles. So, Coach White, who's our special teams coordinator, I know for a fact that he will bring that to the attention to our kickoff team this morning, and we'll work on that, and we'll get better in that phase.
You know, you talked about it on the pregame, and you talked about it just a few moments ago, that you needed to control, as far as was concerned, with your offense and running the football. You did that last night. I think he had over 325 yards rushing the ball game. Jacob Weaver, your quarterback, had 150-plus yards on the ground. I'm going to talk for a moment on his toughness and his competitiveness again. First of all, his toughness in running, because like you said, it was a physical football game. The second thing, as far as his competitive nature is concerned, he did not like the fact that the official told him he didn't make it on a 4th-and-1 on the corner. He talked to the official a couple of times before he left the field last night.
Yeah, on that 2-point play, and then again on that 4th-and-short where we ran a quarterback sneak. Those were both really close calls. They could have gone either way. And of course, from our standpoint, we felt that he made the 2-point conversion and we made the first down. The officials thought otherwise, and you know, Jacob great to his competitive nature, and like I said, he wants the ball in his hands in those crucial situations, and you know, he can break tackles and he can turn, you know, small plays into big plays, and he's, you know, he certainly did that last night. You know, and again, you kind of go back in just the basic football, they're going to play a 6-to-7 man box most of the time, and they're going to play man coverage and they're going to press us, and you know, they're going to really take away a lot of what we wanted to do in the short to intermediate passing game. And their speed really didn't allow us to take any deep shots. They played that one high safety most of the game. And so your quarterback has got to be a part of your run game. Read, you know, or try to empty him out and let your quarterback make plays. And that was something we absolutely had to do last night. We probably ran him more than what we wanted to run him, but we needed to run him in order for us to come away with the victory. Like you said, 150 yards on the ground. Clement had, you know, 130, and together with those two and Ryan Clark, you know, we were able to sustain long drives, keep their offense off the field. I think we had 57 carries for, I think it was 340 yards, 335 mm-hmm. yards. And you know, like we talked about in the middle of the week, we needed to do that, you know, to keep their offense off the field, and you know, to allow our defense to, you know, not have to play against that speed, you know, as much as they did. And you know, credit to the offensive line up front. We didn't always block it perfectly, and we certainly had some times where they were just better than us up front, and we physically had a hard time. But we were able to scheme it up enough, and we were able to still average about 6 yards a carry, and you know, get enough first downs. I think they had 18 first downs, and win that ball game. So it wasn't the prettiest thing in the world, but sometimes games like that, they're just gut checks. You know, they're not really pretty things. They're not big offensive shows, but really it was one in the trenches and with our ability to run the football.
You know, you go back to earlier in the season and before the ball game against Columbia Battle, you talked about speed and athletes on that football team, and you talked about that this week with Cardinal Ritter. And in the battle game, they scored first and they scored quickly, but then you answered. Last night, same thing happened with Cardinal Ritter. 2 minutes into the ball game, they get a 36-yard touchdown pass from T.J. Atkins to Luther Burden and go up by a score of 6-0. And then first time you touch the ball, you answer.
Yeah. And if you really look at their first drive, you know, we talk about this too all the time. When you have, and you're playing a team with that much elite speed, and it's elite speed all over the field, you can't simulate that in practice. So there's always going to be what coaches will talk about, a speed shock. You know, you get out there in the first series, our defense, we've had a great week of practice against our scout team. But our scout team, God love them, they are not even close to the speed that you see in Cardinal Ritter. So, I mean, you saw how fast they scored. I mean, it was big run, you know, big pass. And, you know, and I knew our defense would settle down. You know, we would kind of adjust ourselves to the speed of the opponent, and we did that. And our defense played fantastic the rest of the time. But, you know, those are things that you have to, you know, to account for, you know, in your game plan and how you're going to do things. And we felt good about our offensive game plan. You know, they took the ball first after winning the coin flip, which is exactly what we wanted to do, take the ball first. But, you know, we were able to answer their score with our score, kind of settle things back down, play some solid defense from that point forward, and, you know, eventually come out with a win.
Yeah, I've got it on a note here that the defense, I thought, played very well again last night. You know, one of their three touchdowns, obviously, was the kickoff return of 98 yards, and they had a couple of touchdown passes in the ball game. But I think your defense played very, very well against a talented ball club.
Yeah, they certainly did, you know, to put pressure on the quarterback. And there were some times he scrambled and made big plays. And Jackson, their running back, we contained him for the most part. He had a few big runs. I think he just committed to Tulsa. You know, so he is a Division I type running back, and, you know, there was a lot of challenges for our defense, but I thought, you know, across the board, I thought our defense outside that first drive, I thought our defense played fantastic.
You know, you're off next week. You are the number one team in the district, so you draw a bye next Friday. So this was a good game to have, wasn't it?
We absolutely needed this one, Kevin. We know a couple teams around the area that are going to have two open weeks, and that's something we just didn't want to do. And for us going into playoff run, we needed to have a really tight competitive game, a four-quarter battle. You know, now we have a week off, and we think this game and this contest is really going to help us in the playoffs and, you know, hopefully beyond that. But, it's never good to, to be off. And that's something we didn't want to do, especially because we know week 10 was going to be the way week 10 is. And now we're going to make some adjustments this week, obviously with the weather, and we want to get the kids a couple of days off, after this hard hitting physical game. They're going to need a couple of days off, and, you know, we'll start looking ahead to districts, and it looks like, we're probably going to have Harrisonville, most likely Harrisonville and Nevada, the winner of that game, in the district semifinals, and then, you know, start looking at our district opponents, maybe the district championship opponents, and just start preparing as coaches and be ready to get back at it, after next weekend.
You know, taking a look at the standings this morning, and of course they could change, and sometimes those numbers do change before the end of the weekend, but right now, as you mentioned, it looks like you will take on the winner between Harrisonville and Nevada. Hey, you take a look at this district. You were 9-0, 7-2 Bolivar. In fact, they won by 3 touchdowns last night against West Plains, who was undefeated on the season, as the Liberators won 42-21, so they are 7-2. Warrensburg is 6-1, and both Nevada and Harrisonville are 6-3. Boy, this is a good district.
It is. It is when you look across the board. I think it might be one of the deepest districts, in the state. Certainly in Class 4. We're used to playing in tough districts. That's kind of always been our draw. But we feel like we're going to be ready. We know it's going to be a tough test. Each one of the steps along the way, this football team and our coaches, you know, we've got big hopes and aspirations, and we're going to work really hard to achieve those.
Coach, thanks for the visit this morning. Again, congratulations on a quality win last night against St. Louis Cardinal Ritter.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right, Helias Crusaders head football coach Chris Inches on the Coach's Show. We're back with more after the break. Capital City beat Kirksville last night 13-7. Shannon Jolly, the head football coach for the Cavaliers, joins us after the break.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Now is the time to prepare the money you've saved in your 401k or deferred comp plan to work for you for the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Let Greg help make your retirement everything you imagined. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
I'm Mark Boyer with Three Rivers Electric. If you come across a down power line or a low-hanging power line, always assume the power line is energized and stay at least 10 feet away from that down power line to avoid receiving an electric shock. Also, if you plan on using a standby generator during a storm, please make sure that the generator is connected properly. If you have questions about how to properly connect the generator to your system, call us at Three Rivers Electric Cooperative and we'd be happy to answer your questions. I'm Mark Boyer from Three Rivers Electric.
The Hawthorne Bank family has always been our financial foundation.
Customers share how Hawthorne Bank's Jeff Carr can offer peace of mind advice.
I had some interruption in my revenue cycle. I went from having a very panicked phone call to Jeff to about 5 minutes later being totally at ease.
I was very overwhelmed. He made the process so much easier. He kind of took that fear away.
Life happens. You just try to be the calm voice in good and bad.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC. Hawthorne Bank.
Finding top-tier talent has always been difficult, even when the world wasn't turned upside down. Instead of letting your job listing sink on a job board, let MidmoHires.com be your recruiter. MidmoHires.com is better than other recruitment sites because your job listing is promoted locally across 9 radio stations, plus their web and social media sites, which means more focused exposure than anywhere else. Find out how to post your open positions now at MidmoHires.com. Local companies looking for local people.
All across the nation, we are here for our communities.
We're doing our part to get supplies where it's needed in order to fight COVID-19 together.
It feels good to be out there to assist our community.
I would like our friends and family to know that your National Guardsmen are always ready and always there.
Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
sponsored by the Missouri Army National Guard, aired by the Missouri Broadcasters Association and this station.
UFOs, pandemics, hurricanes, even murder hornets. Could this be the most epic action thriller movie of all time?
No, it's just 2020, a good year to stay indoors. So let Beautiful Home Interiors help you make your home your happy place. They can help you plan and design the best flooring, window treatments, cabinets, and more. Leave 2020 at the door and make your interior superior. BeautifulHomeInteriors.com.
Pass up the middle, cut by Kelsey, takes on Edmonds into the end zone, touchdown, Kansas City, Mahomes to Kelsey, 16 consecutive games with a touchdown pass, an all-time Kansas City Chiefs record.
Sunday, it's a divisional showdown when the Chiefs travel to Denver to face the Broncos. Pre-game starts at 2 on your home for Kansas City Chiefs football.
Chiefs football on KWOS is brought to you by Anne Marie Hopkins with Smarter Real Estate Group, powered by Columbia Real Estate.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. We are joined now by Capital City Cavaliers head football coach Shannon Jolly. Last night at Atkins Stadium, they defeat the Kirksville Tigers by a score of 13-7. Coach, first varsity win for the Cavaliers in their first season of varsity football. Congratulations.
I appreciate that, Kevin. It was, it's been a long road with the obstacles and the things throughout the season. So, I thought our kids put together four really tough quarters of football and worked extremely hard. So.
Yeah, let's spend a moment and talk about that, because you did not play the last 2 weeks due to COVID-19 concerns.
Yeah, we've had some personal and professional, obligations to COVID-19. So, taking probably a prudent step that I supported from our athletic department, shutting down for a couple weeks, I think, was the right thing to do for us and our kids and try to get a little bit of distance. And then, and so coming back from 2 weeks off of not playing, and then having that third week or the final week to prepare was certainly a unique challenge. I know a lot of coaches have gone through it across the state.
Players were ready to go when they came back on Monday, weren't they?
Well, it was refreshingly so. And, you never know how to handle, especially with a younger group of young men like we have. So coming back on Monday, it was, I had some anxiety wondering, not only, when you're talking with young kids, who would show up on time, ready to go and prepared, and we still had some kids quarantined and some things that were some lingering effects from those things. But for the most part, I couldn't have been more proud of our kids showing back up on Monday. What a crazy event to show back up, 2 weeks later with minimal contact, only virtual contact. So I was super proud of our coaches and our players.
We mentioned it was the first varsity win for you last night. Obviously not the first varsity football win for you as a head football coach, but tell me for just a moment the feelings of the coaching staff and the players as you walked off the field with that victory last night.
Well, I think one of the coaches said it best last night. They were just like, I think everybody normally struggles, when you're not winning and your job is to coach and to win, you second guess sometimes, and I think it's human nature. Be like, man, what can I do? Maybe not what I'm doing right, but how can I do what I'm doing better to get a better result? And I think it's a unique occupation where we're in that, where we film everything and we're so critical of everything we do. So we feel like, you want to feel like you're prepared to start with, but when you're not winning, then you go back and you really go back and reevaluate, because that's what we're supposed to do. And so when one of our coaches said that last night, I kind of smiled, but I said, man, we've been doing a lot of great stuff. It's just the process of putting it together and the approach. And last night, our approach from A to Z, specifically even when we got out of school yesterday, was better. And those steps put together created the process last night. And like I said, it's just it is part of the building culture and building process of putting everything together.
Boy, taking a look at the numbers from last night, your defense played very well, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't have been more proud of those guys. And if you were at the game, you could just feel the intensity pick up throughout the game, which is probably the most impressive thing. We still got some young kids that are unsure in some spots that are playing a little bit more not to make mistakes. And then as the game went along, you've seen kids making plays at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage, which is what our goal is. And then it was kind of nice to see them gain some confidence and understand. But like I said, I want to make sure – our young kids have worked their butts off and put in situations throughout the year that it's been really challenging to compete at a higher level. And so I understand where they're coming from a little bit. But last night I was proud of them, and it was fun to see them pin their ears back and play a little bit more loose.
I think you held the Tigers to just one first down in the second half. They didn't get very much in total offense in the second half as well, so the defense played very, very well in the second half of the football game last night.
Yeah, and like I said, that was part of the whole the idea of them building momentum, I think, and if you will. And there were a couple key defensive stops and defensive plays in the first half that you could see some of our kids are like, it kind of clicked, and they played with great confidence. So, yeah, I couldn't say enough. And like I said, those guys have struggled, you know, over the last, you know, 6 or 7 weeks, you know, playing some of the skilled kids from Babel and some of these bigger schools and some really talented kids. And physically, in some cases, we're just not there yet. So to put the mental and the physical part together last night for them, I think was really big.
Tied at 7 at the half, you get the game-winning touchdown to start the second half, and Ian Nelson in from a yard out on a 4th and goal.
Yeah, you know, we got down there a couple other times, Kevin. I don't want to pull up any negative, but, you know, we continue to have a little bit of ball control, ball security issues, especially in the red zone. I think we were within the 1 or 2 yard line a couple times. So, you know, we felt confident, not about the actual security problems, but the fact that we were down there on the goal line a couple more times, we felt confident that we could put drives together and move the chains if we were in short yard situations.
You know, Nelson on that 4th and goal, I saw the replay on it, and he went into the end zone, and it was close because they thought about it for a couple of seconds before they basically signaled the touchdown.
Seemed like it went on for about an hour, didn't it? It took, took a long time. If you're what the big deal was. But, yeah, that's part of it. But I even talked to Ian about that play, and he needs to leave no doubt on that. His shoulder pad level should have been down a little bit lower and probably could have exploded a little bit more off the out of his stance. And, you know, our whole goal is to leave no doubt when you're 4th and 1 or your 4th and goal, because we don't want to leave it to those guys to decide. They do a good job, but I just soon make the decisions and make those plays on our side instead of waiting for them to make them.
Looking at the district setup on the website of the Missouri State High School Activities Association this morning before I came in, it looks right now that you will play in the first round of districts at Rolla. Rolla won last night. They beat Campbellton 28-10. The Bulldogs are 4-3 on the season.
Yeah, Rolla's playing well. I got to visit with Coach Franks at the Jeff City game on Thursday night in Jeff City. And one of my former defensive line coaches is actually the defensive coordinator at Rolla. You know, we've been up there for the Jamboree, so we do have some familiarity with them. You know, they're having a great season. They're well coached. They got a bunch of kids out. And, but at the same time, you know, we're gonna put together a great week and go up there and hopefully give them all they want.
Coach, thanks for the visit this morning. Congratulations on the victory. Good luck against Rolla next Friday night.
Thanks for having us on.
All right, Capital City Cavaliers head football coach Shannon Jolly again last night at Atkins Stadium. They defeat Kirksville by a score of 13-7. Again, the Hawaii Crusaders win last night against Cardinal Ritter 27-18, and it was a 61-14 victory for the Blair Oaks Falcons over School of the Osage. Back with more after the break. The Coaches Show.
Pass up the middle, cut by Kelsey, takes on Edmonds into the end zone, touchdown, Kansas City, Mahomes to Kelsey, 16 consecutive games with a touchdown pass, an all-time Kansas City Chiefs record.
Sunday, it's a divisional showdown when the Chiefs travel to Denver to face the Broncos. Pre-game starts at 2 on your home for Kansas City Chiefs football.
Chiefs football on KWOS is brought to you by Ann Marie Hopkins with Smarter Real Estate Group, powered by Columbia Real Estate.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Now is the time to prepare the money you've saved in your 401k or deferred comp plan to work for you for the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Let Greg help make your retirement everything you imagined. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. We are joined now by Jefferson City Jays head soccer coach Scott Blake. Second day of the Rockbridge Shootout in Columbia. Last night they beat Gateway Legacy by a score of 1-0. Today they meet Jackson at 11 o'clock. The Jefferson City Jays, 19-2 on the season. Coach, you've had a great year so far, haven't you?
Yeah, Kevin, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Yeah, we've had a good one. I, you know, when we met last time earlier in the year, I just it wasn't even in my thought to be 21 games in. We're just super blessed to be at this point in the season and have 21 under our belt.
You've had to make a lot of changes as far as your schedule is concerned, but you have, at this point, 21 in the book.
Yeah, we do. You know, everybody's just had to be a little flexible. And obviously with COVID-19, that's just a requirement for everybody. And us specifically as a team, we've been stressed a little bit the last couple weeks with a couple kids out, but relatively unscathed by quarantines and things like that. We've been able to play, and we just feel we're fortunate at that.
You know, 19 wins on the season, I believe 16 by shutout.
Yeah, 16. We actually last night tied the record in the program with 16 shutouts, and then have a chance today to tie the best number of wins, 20 in a season. So, you know, combine that with us winning the first ever inaugural CMAC title, it's really turned out to be one for the books.
You know, at one point in the season, you had 7 straight shutouts, didn't you?
We did, yeah. You know, it's a cornerstone of our program, being able to have control of a match and limiting opportunities. The underlying focus is that if we defend, then we will create chances. And this group in October has really developed a good stability to our play. You know, we've stuck to that defending principle. But at the same time, we can get out, we can put up a good attack and keep pressure on our opponents. So we could do a little bit of both. I think last time I talked to you, that was what we were shooting for, and we feel real good about where we're at right now.
You know, defense is part of your coaching philosophy, though. This isn't a situation where you have a good defense this year, so this is the result as far as 16 shutouts is concerned. This is something you want to do and as part of the program.
Yeah, it's definitely is a cornerstone, as I say, of the program is just to be able to set the tempo in a match and have it under control, and it definitely doesn't mean that we don't come out and play. Definitely do that. We just we try to be smart about it. We teach our kids when to play and where to play, and you know, when you play for us, you've got to have a good soccer IQ. You've got to be able to think the game, and our boys do a really great job of that. And our coaching staff works real hard at it, and it's a lot of conversations. It's real focused and dialed-in training, and I'm real proud of what we put out in the field.
But you can score as well, because I think you've scored at least 5 goals in 7 games this year.
We have. We've scored 85 this year, and I'm not 100% sure what the record number of goals is, but we definitely put up multiple goal games all the way through. That's why I thought actually last night's victory was a really good one, because I believe it might be our only 1-0 win of the year. I think all our wins are 2-1 or multiple, 3-0, 5-0, so on and so forth. So I really believe to be a championship team, you've got to show that you can win 1-0. They had kind of a playoff feel to it last night. Gateway Legacy was a nice program. I mean, they are they don't play in Mission. They're in St. Louis, heavy international. I would say probably pretty close to 100% international kids that are brought in and looking for exposure within the game of soccer. And they played different last night than what we've seen on our regular schedule. And it was good for us to see and good for us to get through that and show we can win 1-0 and we'll be better for it.
Well, this will be a good one today in Columbia as you'll take on Jackson. You're averaging 4 goals a game, giving up 0.4 of a goal on defense. Jackson averaging 3.7 goals a game, giving up 0.6 goals a game. This ought to be a good one.
Yeah, when you look at the stats, it looks like it's going to be a good match on paper. And you know, as the season goes on, goals sometimes are hard to find. And so I would look for our goals against needs to stay right where it is. And our goals for, you know, we may not get the 3 or 4 goals a game. We may just get the one we need. And you're going to get everybody's best game going down the stretch, and I actually think Jackson might be just have a little bit better record than that. They, I thought they were 18-1, and they just won their conference, so they're going to be coming in pretty confident in today's match. And you know, we played last night, and they have yet to play in the Rockford Shootout, so they'll play their first game today. So we're going to dig deep, and I'm looking forward to a really good soccer game today.
What do you like most about your team right now?
Man, that's a tough question, Kevin. I like a lot about our team. I really, like I said, for us, you know, I think historically, you know, what we've tried to put on the field is a defensively organized team. This group can do that. But the question has always been, where are we going to get the goal? And I think that's one of the nice things about this team and the fun thing about coaching this team is that on any given day, we've got plenty of guys that could step up and answer that question. You know, we have that defensive structure. We have a good system. But we could also get out and score when we need it. And we have multiple guys that are cracking on 20 goals. Typically in a season, we might have one guy that might get close, but we've got three that are right there. So I think that is what I really like about the team is being able to, do what we do, but then have a little bit more coming at you. And that makes us super, super dangerous. I mean, our kids are really great kids, good character. You know, they work hard in practice. They've been with us for a long, long, long time. And, you know, and, you know, also I got to say, you know, we talk about the goals a lot, but, our goalkeeper's got a 0.4 goals against average. You know, he's, a big part of us getting 16 shutouts. And so Toby Hughes has been just a real big part of our success.
Coach, thanks for the visit this morning. Good luck today against Jackson at the Rockbridge Shootout. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate you.
All right, Jefferson City Jays head soccer coach Scott Blake. In fact, districts start a week from today. It will be at the 179 Soccer Park. The Jefferson City Jays are the number one seed. Next Saturday, they will open up district action at 10 o'clock against Capital City. Then at noon, number two seed Sedalia Smith Cotton meets number three seed Helias. The championship a week from Tuesday, scheduled again at the 179 Soccer Park at 6 o'clock. Back with more. There is a Class 3 state semifinal softball game at the Falcon Athletic Complex, and we'll talk about that after the break.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Now is the time to prepare the money you've saved in your 401k or deferred comp plan to work for you for the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Let Greg help make your retirement everything you imagined. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Trying to find a local restaurant with good fried chicken can be like trying to pull a trick play in football. You cross your fingers and hope for the best. We're fortunate to have Nick's Family Restaurant, featuring family-style food and seriously, the best fried chicken. Check their Facebook page to see what people are ordering and saying. Locals recommend to pick Nick's and the Tailgater chicken specials and the sides like mashed potatoes and green beans. Introduce your family to their family at Nick's Family Restaurant, Village Square on East McCarty in Jeff City.
Sons of insects, I am part of the pain book. So I've heard. I've also heard he bites humans by the hundred. And if he were here, he'd wreak havoc amongst the bed sheets. I am part of the pain book, and I see a whole army of ants and rodents. Spiders and bedbugs here, in defiance of those who walk upon two legs. You've come to invade free bugs, and free bugs you are. What would you do without freedom? Will you invade? Hi, Gary, and your lib, but dying in your nest many days from now. Would you trade all those days for one chance, just one chance to come back here and kill the humans? That they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom! Oh, is that Steve? Never mind! Scary!
I'm Steve with Steve's Pest Control. We will eliminate your pest problem and stop the fall pest invasion. I guarantee it.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. We are joined now by Blair Oaks Lady Falcons head softball coach Sharon Bushjost. It's a state semifinal softball game at the Falcon Athletic Complex this afternoon as they will meet Savannah. Blair Oaks comes in 24-6, Savannah 17-1. Another Final Four appearance for the Falcons. That's got to be, what, four in the last 5 years?
I think so, Kevin.
Boy, this ought to be a heck of a softball game.
You know, it should be. It's unique in a sense that a Final Four is being played at a, you know, a host site, a school site. So that's the first time that I can ever remember that happening. But it is 2020, and we're hosting a semifinal game and happy to be doing it.
I was going to say, you don't mind hosting, do you?
Not at all. Not at all. You know, I know Savannah has a long trip, and we'll be a good host to them, and I'm sure they'll have a crowd, and I expect to see a lot of green in our crowd today as well.
Boy, there's four very good teams left in Class 3. You are 24-6. Savannah 17-1. Bowling Green 19 wins. They are 19-7. Sullivan is 19-9. In fact, Sullivan and Savannah, I think, met last year, and I think Savannah ended up third in Class 3, didn't they?
They did. You know, all four teams left in Class 3 are familiar, you know, to postseason and familiar to the Final Four. So teams that have been there and teams that, you know, are looking to get back to that championship game.
This is the first meeting of the year between Blair Oaks and Savannah. Is this the first time you've ever met on the softball field?
First time in my, you know, in my coaching that I can recall in 25 years ever playing them. So, you know, it just puts a little smile on my face a little bit because my husband's aunt and uncle lived in Savannah, and I know his sister was a big-time women's fast-pitch coach from that area, the CT. So just kind of brings back some memories and thoughts of them as I hear Savannah softball.
These two teams have very good pitching staffs, don't they?
They do. And, you know, nobody will. It's not a secret. At this point, you can have a good hitting team, but it's tough to get where you're at without good pitching. So they bring with them a good battery, pitcher-catcher that's works well together, and then a mix of hitters and speed. That'll be a tough opponent for us.
Coach, I've seen different start times. Tell us when this game's supposed to start today.
2 o'clock today.
Okay, 2 o'clock. I saw 1 o'clock. I heard 3 o'clock last night, so I want to make sure everybody knows it's 2 o'clock with the first pitch.
At least that's what this coach thinks the time is. If it's different, then it'll be news to me.
Yeah, you'll be there at 2 o'clock. Everybody else better be there as well, right?
That's what I think.
You haven't given up a run in postseason play, outscoring your opponents 31-0.
You know, yeah, and I mean that's, you know, that nothing that you mentioned. Easy to win games when the other team isn't scoring, but I say easy, but there was nothing easy about our last game with Centralia. That felt like a 1-0 Final Four game is what it felt like. It was Centralia, and they're a good team, and they got better as the year went on. So we've been playing in those types of games, which is what the postseason is about.
Yeah, you continued that theme that we talked about last Saturday, and that's getting good pitching and you're getting the shutout. And the second thing is that you're scoring early in the ballgame. You did that against Centralia. I think you got 2 runs in the first inning.
We did. And, you know, and we could have, and of course as a coach I'm going to say should have, gotten more runs. But that being the key. And then it wasn't without, you know, they had innings where they had runners on and opportunities as well. So we had to pitch out of some jams and keep that zero on the board. And that's what we did. And I think that was impressive.
Alexis Finley gets the shutout win for you against Centralia. Does she get the ball today, or are you going to wait game time decision and not tell me that right now?
You know, game time decision, we have a pretty good idea, but we might have a little bit different strategy going into this game. Game time decision on that.
You take a look at Savannah coming in, the numbers they're averaging. You are averaging 7.5 runs a game, Savannah giving up 1.4 runs a game, you at 1.8. They have 12 shutouts. You have 11, some very similar numbers.
You know, there are. And then I think what it comes down to and what you hope is a little bit of an advantage on your side is, you know, that strength of schedule that you play and teams that you're facing. You know, and you just hope that we've prepared well for it and have faced teams that are of this caliber of pitching and hitting, you know, and everything. So you always hope that a team you're facing in the Final Four is, you know, they're going to be good, but you hope you've built your schedule in such a way that nothing is, you know, eye-popping or just so different that you hadn't seen it during the season.
You know, we talked about this with you last Saturday. At this juncture of the season, runs are going to be hard to come by, aren't they?
They are, and we talk about that. You know, strategy might get a little bit different when games are a little bit tighter, fight a little bit harder for those runs, and how you manufacture those runs might look a little bit different, and execution and getting bunts down and just everything that you emphasize during the season, you know, when you're on defense, talking, where the play should go, all of those things, you know, become vital and just crucial in games like this in terms of wins or if you win or lose.
You'll face a very good pitcher today, won't you?
We will. You know, watched some video on her and got a couple scouting reports and you know, and she's the, you know, life of their team, and they kind of go as she goes. So, you know, hopefully we'll be on our game hitting and we put the ball in play that'd be the key, not to allow her to rack up strikeouts, putting the ball on play and letting her defense work and not just her dominate.
Coach, thanks for the visit. Good luck today against Savannah. We appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
All right, it's the Class 3 semifinals at the Falcon Athletic Complex this afternoon. First pitch scheduled for 2 o'clock. Blair Oaks comes in with a mark of 24-6. Savannah is 17-1. The other semifinal game will feature Bowling Green, 19-7. They'll be at Sullivan. Sullivan is 19-9. Head over and see some great softball this afternoon. 2 o'clock is the scheduled first pitch. Blair Oaks against Savannah. Back with more after the break. It's the Coaches Show on KWOS.
I get it, Dad. Game day's a big day for you. Your favorite team to text and the whole afternoon to yell at the TV. So, Dad, let's make a deal. I'll leave you alone so you can check your fantasy team if you make an appointment at the Missouri Heart Center. Just imagine them as your other favorite team, ready to help you score big when it comes to the health of your heart. Sounds like a touchdown to me. Woo! Comprehensive cardiovascular care in the heart of Missouri. MoHeartCenter.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. We are joined now by Blair Oaks Falcons head football coach Ted LePage last night at the Falcon Athletic Complex, a 61-14 victory over School of the Osage. Congratulations on the win and your sixth straight Tri-County Conference football title.
Thank you, Kevin. It was a really great accomplishment by our players. When it boils down to it, you got to have really good players, and you have to have players that can adapt and overcome and know everybody's going to give them their best game every week, and you got to bring your A game. We were just talking about that as coaches in the coach's office here, that it's amazing how many people come out and give us our best game, and our players just consistently continue to raise their game each week. So can't be more excited that, you know, six in a row, but most of all, it's exciting for this year. As weird as this year's been, our players have really consistently kept their focus.
You know, and taking a look at the district standings this morning on the website at the Missouri State High School Activities Association, you have overtaken Centralia. You are now the number one team in the district.
It's get everybody to come here. Nobody really likes to come to Wardsville to play because of the community support, first of all. But second, we're gonna have a home field advantage every time we walk on the field at the Falcon Athletic Complex. So our players were extremely excited. We know we have home field advantage now. We just have to go out and continue to practice well and get ready for 2 weeks from now.
You know, you take a look at the game last night, and the teams traded touchdowns early on. It was 14-14 early in the second quarter.
Their offense was about as explosive as any offense we played this year. They have a Division I offensive tackle. They had a tackle on the other side that's just about as big as that tackle. Really good running back. Three really skilled wide receivers, probably as elusive a receiver core as we've seen all the way across the board. But their quarterback was just one of those guys after the game. It was like he was even better than we thought on film. He was very, very fast, very athletic, very elusive runner. But he threw three or four passes last night. We had great coverage, and he just dropped them in. And that was a huge, really, job by our defense to hold them to 14. That's a team that averages 35 points a game, and they've done it against everybody in our conference. Mm-hmm. So for us to hold them to 14, I thought was really big. But we started getting in some areas, started maybe getting a little more pressure than what the quarterback would have liked, and we created a lot of turnovers last night. And once we started creating the turnovers, the momentum just shifted so much, and they had a hard time overcoming that.
You had seven turnovers, I believe, in the ball game that you forced in the contest. A giveaway takeaway. You know I talk about that a lot. Going into your next football game, I think you're at a plus 26 right now.
Yeah, and we thought we were just speaking of that in our coach's office. It should be more. We've given away a couple times on the offense the last couple weeks that have been careless. And that's the one thing that we will address today on film. We fumbled the ball last night. It's our fourth fumble of the season. And it was a bad exchange between quarterback and running back, but there has some things that came into it. And that's one thing we can't do. We can't give anybody momentum off of a turnover.
Our coach is never happy.
Well, no, heck no. Why would you be happy? the opportunity to help a young person grow it's like life. You know, when you get happy and you get satisfied, life's going to knock you to your knees, and you're going to stay there unless you decide to get up off of it. So our job as coaches is to make the players realize this is a lot like life. You're going to get knocked to your knees. It's not about being on your knees. It's how fast you can get up off those knees and try again.
I knew I was going to get that answer, but I had to ask the question. You know that.
Well, I'd like to say we're satisfied, but who can be satisfied being 8-1 and being being where we're at. We want to be winning ones the next game to show.
As we mentioned early in the second quarter, it's tied at 14. Then you end up with six unanswered touchdowns to win by a score of 61-14. And I thought the momentum shift occurred when you got the pick from Ian Nolf.
Very much. Ian just has done a tremendous job for us all year. He's big. He's long. He's really intelligent. And he got in the throwing lane. He's been working on it really probably for about the last 3 or 4 weeks, working in a drop zone. He shows like he's coming to our walks right in a drop zone. They threw the ball right into the area, and he's so long, he went up and got it. And then after that, we scored in one play, Jaden Purdy, on a little outside pitch. And then it just, the momentum, you could just feel it in the stadium. You could just feel it out of our team that now we're rolling and look out. And that was the catalyst to get us going in that direction.
Dylan Hare was busy last night. I think he had 5 touchdown passes in the ball game. Jake Closher was busy, caught a couple of touchdown passes and had a couple of interceptions, including a pick six.
Yes, again, we probably discuss a lot of things about our team, and one thing that we don't overlook but probably didn't get talked about enough is Jake and just his ability to be a ball player. And I hate to say it like that. It sounds so disrespectful, but it's not. A ball player is just a guy that plays ball all the time. He is amazing at how he can manipulate coverages and get the ball in his hands. But when he gets the ball in his hands on defense, he's looking to score. And that's one of the things I appreciate about Jake. And, you know, he turned out offensively. He doesn't – his catch-to-touchdown ratio is off the charts also. So – When you talk about Jake Closher, he's a heartbeat probably of a football team, but most of all, he's just a ball player. That if he played corner, if he played safety, if he played D line, you'd be talking about Jake Closher.
All right, 41-14 at the half, and you return the second half kickoff for a touchdown, and it's Jalen Purdy. I think he goes over 90 yards, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. And Jaden sits back there. They've been kicking a lot to Levi Haney. Levi Haney has been, every time they kick it deep to Haney, he's been, you know, really doing a great job in return. So they decide to kick it to Jaden, and that's probably not a good decision either. Jaden is so fast and he's so low to the ground that when you're in a lane running down and he try to arm tackle him, he's going to just literally go through that like it's not there. And he got to the kicker, and the team was kind of giving him some trouble. When he got to the kicker, he made a move and he started to cramp, but he's carried himself on into the end zone, made the kicker miss, and got in the end zone, came over and got his cramp ripped out. But a really exciting time for him because he's a very dynamic player in space, so we really appreciate them kicking the ball to him.
Number one in the district, with there being 6 teams in the district, you draw a bye next week. You will await the winner of California and Boonville, both teams in the Tri-County Conference, so both teams you've played this year.
We have. We've seen both of them. Both of them very good football teams. It would be a task for us. Anytime you play somebody twice, you worry about that, but we've played them both really early in the season. I know they have changed as football teams. Everybody does this a season. We'll just have to really have this week to kind of heal up a little bit. We're going to use it as a healing week, but we're going to use it as a really good fundamental practice week. Then we'll turn around and get ready after we find out who the winner is, and we'll be full bore next Saturday to get ready for our players to play whoever happens to come to Falcon Athletic Complex first.
You know, even though you won't play next Friday night, will you change anything next week as far as your routine?
Great question. I've researched that. I'm a big research guy on practice and things of that nature. One thing everybody talked about was Monday. Monday usually for us is, this is a bad term, but they kind of call it blood and guts Monday. Monday, I think we're more of a contact team on Monday. I really like to start that week off and get our kids physical on Monday. On Monday, we're probably going to go shorts and T-shirts and just run them and try to let them have another 24 hours of healing. We'll come back and practice Tuesday like a normal Tuesday, Wednesday like a normal Wednesday. And our seniors last night said they want to go Thursday morning, keep the routine. And then on Friday, we'll probably have a mix of a Tuesday-Wednesday practice and then start again next Saturday.
Coach, thanks for the visit this morning. Congratulations on your 6th straight Tri-County Conference football crown with that win over Osage last night. And you look forward to the second round of districts. You'll be at home taking on either California or Boonville a week from Friday.
We can't wait. We'll start as soon as they let us.
All right, Coach. Thanks for the visit.
Thank you.
Blair Oaks Falcons head football coach Ted LePage. Here are your final scores again from last night. Blair Oaks beat School of the Osage by a score of 61-14. Capital City beat Kirksville 13-7. It was a 9-point victory for Helias over St. Louis Cardinal Ritter. The final score, 27-18. Elias ends the regular season undefeated at 9-0. And in Thursday night's football game at Atkins Stadium, a field goal on the final play of the game, and it's Fort Zumwalt West over Jefferson City 23-20. See you next week on the Coach's Show.